What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are recording this time on a Tuesday night. It is November 12th. This is episode number 241. We have another Red Raider loss to talk about as the Red Raiders fall to Colorado this past Saturday. And Texas Tech Hoops was back in action for the win of the weekend for the Red Raiders. So not all bad, but a lot of rough stuff to talk about with Texas Tech football. A bye week coming up. So we'll just talk about the loss, talk a little bit about hoops. And then we're saving our hoops deep dive for next week as we'll just have, you know, to preview Oklahoma State. So it shouldn't be too long of an episode so we can talk a little bit more in depth about the basketball team there. Of course, they'll have a couple more games under their belt. So we'll have a little bit more idea of them and how to talk about them. But with all that said, let's go ahead and get into Texas Tech versus Colorado.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
Well, Saturday was a pretty fun day for the most part before Texas Tech football kicked off. Great day of tailgating, great weather, big noon kickoff was in town. Big noon kickoff had a lot of people. They all picked Colorado to win, and well, they were right. They should have picked Colorado. They came all the way to Lubbock to pick Colorado, and Colorado made them proud with a 41-27 win over the Texas Tech Red Raiders after the Red Raiders jumped out to a 13-0 lead. Colorado went on five straight scoring drives, swung the game. The Red Raiders falling behind, never able to get that lead back. Had a chance at the end to drive the length of the field. Barron immediately fumbled the ball in the end zone to put this game away. Colorado 41-27 win. The Raiders falling to 6-4 on the season now. Dustin, your thoughts about the pretty tough loss for the Red Raiders at yet another big home game where the Red Raiders kind of fail to show up and get a W.
Big home game, big shoes to fill, and football ruined a really good Saturday like you laid out. It was a great tailgate. Big noon was fun. I mean, me and you were both feeling really good and got out early, hit up quite a few tailgate spots, saw a lot of people. Hyped up our own team, and we look real stupid for that. Thanks to, you know, a team that had, again, a lot of coaching blunders, I feel like, in this game, yep. Which has been a repetitive thing this year. Offense really didn't come to play at all. I'm putting more of this on them. We'll kind of deep dive into both sides in a minute. I know the internet's been ablaze with whose fault it is this last couple days. Some statistician type people are laying out defense when it's a lot of offense putting us in those situations.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely both sides, but you had special teams screw up this week as well. No one really showed up, and it just sucks that you have a big game, a lot on the line in this game. And even once you got the game started and Colorado was not ready at all.
Yeah.
I mean, their first two drives were as bad as you could get without turning the ball over. And they had missed snaps and penalties and fumbled snaps. Like, it was just god awful from their offense, and they got it together and played really well. And the other thing that was repetitive that has happened again and again is your second and third quarters were MIA. Like, you just weren't there again for multiple consecutive quarters. I mean, you've yet to have even one side of the ball put up a full game in conference play. And you're not even close to having both sides of the ball played together.
Yeah.
And then a lot of these times now you're getting both sides not playing good in the same quarter. And so that's where it's like really frustrating is I know we had, like you just said, a chance to go down and tie it. We were within a score come late, you know, and you shouldn't have even been that close, to be honest, come the end of it, but you had a chance and then just crapped the bed again. So you just can't step up in those big moments against good teams. You can do it against teams that aren't good or average sometimes, but when it matters a lot, we haven't been able to do it.
Yeah, like you said, it just, this team is very inconsistent. When the offense is doing semi good, the defense seems to struggle. When the defense is doing amazing, the offense never seems to be clicking. It's just, it's a frustrating product that gets put on the field every Saturday. You know, the offense is going to be a struggle, and that's the part I just don't see why people are defending this offense. The stats might look good, but
we've laid this out last week and week before.
That what you're watching out there doesn't look like a competent offense. Competent offenses can go throughout the game and have drives. After you start this game 13-0, it's 3 plays punt, 3 plays punt, 6 plays punt, 4 plays missed field goal, which was a, you know, not a good look from field goal, 53-yard missed field goal. Then you're finally able to score. Then you turn it over on downs after 4 plays, turn it on downs after 8 plays, interception, fumble, downs. Like, golly, just a lot of opportunities wasted. My gripe in this one was the start of the game. When your defense is playing great, you got to capitalize on those moments. And I know that's a lot of pressure. I'm not asking Kittley to be perfect here, but you know, the crowd was rocking. The defense was playing great. You score a touchdown, and then it's field goal. And then after that, you get a stop, another opportunity to go up multiple possessions there, and you get stopped. And then, boom, Colorado scores, and just like that, it's a one-possession game. And, like, those are the frustrating moments. It's happened in the last 3 games specifically, where TCU, Iowa State, and now Colorado, of when your defense is playing lights out for a quarter, for several possessions, and giving you multiple opportunities, and you just waste all those opportunities. Yep. It feels like you're not able to cash in when you need to build a lead. If you would have gone up 21-0 in this game probably would have been, I mean, there's still a lot of time left. I'm not going to say it's ever over, but it would have definitely felt like you would have had a big advantage. But if it was Kittley, he probably would then not score the rest of the game. Like, those are just, like, the inconsistency's bad. After the first 2 drives in the last several games, you just can't do squat. You know, it's starting to, hey, all right, script plays. He can drive down the field, get some points. But beyond that, you never know what you're going to get. The adjustments on both sides of the ball don't seem to be there offensively. It feels like as soon as they adjust to the defense, Kittley has no idea what to do. Or the defense adjusts to the offense, he has no idea what to do. And that's always been his biggest weakness to me.
I'm with you on that. First half of the first quarter, like, the crowd was helping. The defense was so good. You had Colorado not being able to move the ball or even handle the ball. You came out with 13 points on 4 bad possessions from Colorado's offense when you should have had anywhere from 20 to 28.
Yep.
And I mean, three to four possession game is what we're talking. And you had barely a 2-possession game.
Yep.
And then that turned into a 1 real quick. And it was that way for a while. And Colorado handled it. Like, that changes everything that Tim Drueter and the defense gets to do for at least 2 quarters, for at least the rest of the first half.
Yep.
Like, and that changes that immensely of what they can do. And definitely, I would think, shrinks the playbook or adjusts the playbook on Colorado's end, or they start pressing and start doing stupid stuff. So, like, that's, I'm with you on the frustration there. You had so much opportunity to put this game away in the first couple minutes, first drive, or a first half of that quarter, and really, really came up flat with only 13 points on it, you know, 1 touchdown, 2 field goals, and a punt or a missed field goal on it. And, like, that's just, that sucks after all that effort.
Yeah, I just don't get the Kittley defending at this point. I don't get what defending him really has to do. sure, this offense scores points, but it hasn't translated in any winning. So what, like, at what point do you really want to die on the Kittley hill? Like, sure, if your defense is...
It's false stats. Like, yeah, it's just padding stats against bad teams. And when it, when we have a need a big Kittley drive, as you like to put it, I like that. He comes up flat half the time, or more than half the time.
Yeah, more than half the time, nothing comes of it. You know, we tweeted out probably two or three times, here comes the drive, here comes, like, the most important drive, does nothing. And then they want to blame it, oh, defense allowed five straight scores. And, like, that's all the defense fault. Well, what was the offense doing in those situations? In the between those five scoring drives, punt, missed field goal, you got one touchdown, turnover on downs, and then right after they score again to go up 31-20, another turnover on downs. So to me, it's just like the offense isn't doing anything. When the defense is struggling like that, you need to have an offense that can keep up with the other team, and Kittley doesn't have that offense. When you have an offense that needs to pad a lead, you don't have that offense either.
Yeah.
It's been consistent throughout the season. It's like you're just the average offense that every team is going to be in every single game, and that's why all of our wins have been one possession games. It's like you don't have the opportunity to blow out any teams. You don't have the ability to really come back against any of these teams. So what are you, you're left with just having to be perfect and hoping that your defense plays their ass off just to get a win. And that's just not great return on this offense. The one positive on this offense from this game is Taj Brooks did break the rushing record, the all-time Texas Tech rushing record. So shout out to Taj Brooks. Before we get back into some of the negatives, let's stop here and celebrate him, unlike we did at Jones AT&T Stadium in the moment, which was kind of embarrassing. You and me definitely thought it was maybe more embarrassing than probably people understand. But Taj broke the record, and Deion Sanders immediately called a timeout after. And I don't
know. He had a guy there to tell him when he's going to break it. You know he did. He knows the importance of big stuff like that and the importance of that to football. Like football gods, football karma type stuff. You know he had a GA or whoever keeping tabs on that and telling him immediately.
It wasn't – I don't think it was – you and me both don't think it was coincidence that they happened to call a timeout after that, because it was still early
quarter
in the game, and they were already, I think – almost, I think that was their last time out. So there was like no need to call it. He called it, and we didn't do anything in the stadium. Like right then, it should have been like, and Taj, now you're all time leading rusher. Instead, they waited like several, like a whole possession or two, and then announced it.
I waited until there was like a TV timeout and then did it when Deion gave us the opportunity. Thank you for that. Appreciate that on his part.
Yeah. That was classy on Deion's part. But ultimately, Taj Brooks, now the all-time leading rusher at Texas Tech, the epitome of consistency at the position for the Red Raiders yet again, like 31 for 137 yards. I think like his last six, seven games, he's all been like right over 120. What are your thoughts on Taj breaking the all-time record, and what was an unfortunate loss, but it's still something to be celebrated?
Yeah, and honestly, he shouldn't have broke it during this game with – how Colorado's defense was playing and how bad our O-line was. And we couldn't run the ball most of the game. Luckily, he ripped off a few long ones there in late and in the fourth to get it. And so, yeah, consistency. I mean, been such a great player for us. I tweeted somebody the other day that we wasted a really good career out of a guy. Started thinking about it. We are really good at doing that. But yeah, shout out to Taj. Appreciate him coming back and getting this record. And hopefully he can just keep padding some stats the next couple games.
Yeah, it hasn't necessarily been the joyous of times while Taj has been a Red Raider. Not the amount of wins that I think any of us would have liked, including him. But he has been a joy of a football player to watch, joy of a football player to be able to celebrate. Seems like a great kid overall. Seems like just a really good teammate. The epitome of what you want in a college football player, in a program, guys you want to build off of. It's unfortunate we haven't been able to get him the kind of winning he deserves, but I've definitely he's been my favorite player to watch over this last several years. And
oh, for sure. By far.
You're going to be very sad when he is no longer has that jersey on. Our offense is going to get even worse without him. He's been the only thing, the only reason Kittley has a job.
Imagine how many yards he should have if he's not dodging defenders at 0 yards or negative and putting up 5 yards off a negative or 0 yard play. Yeah. He should have so many yards. Should have
broken the record all a long time ago. But nonetheless, he's been really fun. So it was really cool to see him get this record. Much would have preferred it to be during a win, but still not a guy more deserving to have this kind of record. And he, like you said, you hope he just gets to keep pad those stats to maybe that's probably in this day and age, maybe an untouchable number with how the transfer portal and everything works nowadays. It's hard to believe you're going to have a player here for that long. But shout out to him.
Or even a guy that just is a workhorse like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That can carry the ball 30 times a game. Like he has been able to do and stay healthy. So, shout out to Taj. Glad he got to break the record. Didn't want injury or something like that to derail it. And luckily that did not. He was the kind of lone bright spot in the offense. Barron struggled yet again. The offensive line, like you said, not very good in this game. Gave up 7 sacks. Barron, not very good at getting rid of the ball. He was kind of turnover prone in this game. 2 lost fumbles, 1 interception. What did you make of Barron's performance in what have been increasingly alarming performances from Barron?
Yeah, Barron was not good again. But, I mean, that's not going to put all of it on Barron. Our O-line was by far the worst point in this team, in this game. It's the reason it took Taj a while to get that record in this. They were just getting their ass kicked up front, whether it be run blocking, they couldn't do it. Pass blocking, they couldn't do it for Barron. And so I don't know what we got to do to get offensive line play, but it's the same crap we had to deal with last year. And we can't, Kittley can't motor down the field without a O-line that is incompetent, kind of, is how I feel.
Yeah, maybe Cody Campbell will buy it, like he said.
Oh yeah, he did say that.
Go do a little shopping this offseason.
I mean we're gonna have to buy one or two, but we can't buy 3 or 4. It's got to be recruiting as well and developing those guys. I know we've recruited them, but are they ready and can they do it yet?
Yeah, I know you're recruiting them. It doesn't seem like that's really worked out. I know you're hitting the portal for guys, but
you know, one of them gets hurt every year.
One of them gets hurt every year, and one of them seemingly sucks every year. So it's just like putting all the pieces together every year and patching up the lines just really hasn't been the recipe for success up there. I mean, it's been a long time since we've had any consistency at line, and so it's beginning to be one of those things that it seems like a dream that will never come to fruition. But who knows, maybe Cody is more motivated now than ever to
hope so
help get that done, because without that you're not going to see these 8-win total teams, just because you're gonna have teams like Colorado be able to come in and just blow you up and completely ruin a game. It was definitely hard on Barron, but he's just not a good quarterback when he's under pressure.
Not at all.
He struggles anytime he has to hold the ball more than a few seconds. He struggles if his first read or option isn't there. The degree of difficulty for him to complete a pass increases like by so much. He's just not that guy, and that's okay. Like he's just not the guy that's going to go win you games like that one. You know, he's going to put you in those situations. He's going to fumble the ball. He's going to throw bad interceptions. That's just kind of what he's done over and over in these situations. You've seen it from time and time again, like Iowa State. Hey, that was an impressive drive at the end that you needed to get to score the winning touchdown. But when you needed to score the winning touchdown, whose hands were the ball in? It was Taj Brooks. You know, in this game, when you needed Barron Morton to put together a final drive there, you know, nothing happened. Fumbled it in the end zone.
Ended the game. And then no one tried to recover it.
Yeah, just immediately stopped. It's just highly alarming, and I'm kind of with the people That is, I think it's time to move on. I think Will Hammond is the future. And I think just sticking around with Barron is probably one of the things that Joey will do because he's a loyal guy. But I think, like, at this point, like, Barron doesn't have it. He's not the guy that's going to be to lead this program to the next level that you want to take that step on. I think Will Hammond has to be the guy. Where are you at on that debate? Because I think I've seen a lot of people say Will can play the last two games and keep his red shirt.
Yeah, that's all we got left. I mean, you have a bye week if you really wanted to make that move right now. But yeah, Joey's not going to do that. He's a loyal to a fault, I'd say. And he's going to let Barron go out for coming back, you know, and try to piece it back together and make up excuses for it. And we're just not going to see it unless it's bowl game. Like, I don't have like a personal opinion just because I know that's what's going to happen, to be honest.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things that's ultimately maybe going to do him. Joey here is his loyalty has just crushed him. I think I like the loyalty, especially in this day and age, but you got a program that has a fan base that is craving for wins, craving for you to do something more than 6 wins, 7 wins. And like sometimes, like I get it, these guys have put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into you, but the results aren't there. And like, I'm sorry, with Barron, the results aren't there. And you know, these last few games are great examples of why. And you've seen a little bit of Will Hammond. Looked pretty dang good. So I'll be very curious to see. I imagine it's Barron, but yeah, bowl game it might be. All right, we're on with Will. That's it for the Barron Morton era. I wouldn't be upset about that. I'm sorry, but I want to win games. I like Barron. Seems like a good guy, but it is what it is when it comes to him. Defense is the other talking point of this game. As I said, they did give up 5 straight scoring possessions for Colorado. Gave up 291 passing yards, only 60 rushing yards, 3 sacks, created 0 turnovers in this game. But did come out of the gates hot, forcing 4 straight punts to start the game for Colorado. What are your thoughts on the defensive performance from this one?
Honestly, it's kind of what overall is what I expected in this kind of game and against a team like Deion and Hunter out there. Shador. I mean, the start was amazing. And like we said, we didn't do anything with it on the offensive end. I think you told me at one point, if I'm a defense player, I'd be punching Kitley for not getting us more points after all that. And
every game I'd punch Kitley if I was a defensive player.
I mean, this is definitely the best quarterback you've played so far and probably that you'll play all year. We know Oklahoma State and West Virginia don't have quarterbacks like Shador. Mm. And I mean, he was just so good at, if the play's not there, throw it away. He did a really good job of barely getting out of sacks because we were all over him for a lot of the game. I didn't hate the pressure. I just hated that we couldn't get him to the ground a lot of times. I mean, we were at his feet, at his hips, and he would wiggle out or get rid of the ball right before we got to him. I mean, they didn't run the ball. We knew they wouldn't. And they had like 60 rushing yards or something silly. Yeah. I mean, and you also didn't let them go over the top. Like, they didn't explode on you ever. I mean, you had, like, that Travis Hunter screen pass for, like, 20-some yards, and that was, like, the longest they got.
Yeah, the long pass of the day was 24 yards. There's 2 plays that they had that were over 20 yards. Everything else was 19 or less than 20 yards. Like,
That's what you asked for when we talked about it last week. Like, no explosive plays. We got a few sacks. We were pressuring. We didn't let them run the ball. Like, that wasn't a anomaly that they, like, you know, went for 100 on us. And I thought you did everything you wanted to. Made them drive down the field. Again, I think this is your offense not getting us more points to put us defensively in a better position. It works both ways.
Yeah, I think when you look at the defensive score, Colorado had 41, but their last came on that fumble touchdown. Defense only gave up 34 points. I think coming into that, if you told me the defense held Colorado to 34 points, we should win that game with this offense that everybody thinks is so amazing and these stats are so awesome for. I think 34 points should have been a win.
Yeah.
But you only get 27. You know, your defense did, I think, exactly what we talked about doing. You don't let them have these big explosive plays on you. You contained them. You made them have to work every single drive. You held them to field goals on a couple big drives. You know, you even at the end of the game, when you thought, all right, it's over, Barron fumbled, the defense was still able to get a stop and get you stops. And somehow we had a chance to go down and tie at the end because of the defense. So I get their stats might not look good. And I get that this is a team that gives up a lot of points. I just think, like you said, it's not complimentary football right now. And your offense always seems to let you down when you need, when your defense has done everything and played their part to keep you in this game, to give you a chance. And you know, time and time again, your offense fails you. So I'm definitely going to not shit on this defense a whole lot. I think it's a very young defense. You're seeing some players really make some progress.
I'm excited for the future of this defense for the next 2 years.
Yeah, you got a lot of players that I'm really glad on this team, and you can see the progressions that they're making just from this season. But yeah, I mean, obviously it'd have been nice to get some turnovers. This defense has been reliant on, you know, forcing turnovers in games, and to not be able to get one was probably one of the things you're going to look back on. I wish you were able to create one or two, but yeah, I think they did what you needed them to do to win this game. And I think your offense failed you. Like you said. Let's see, last kind of bit to discuss in this game, the big part, the officiating was pretty brutal. We haven't all season, I think, had an official discussion, because I think the officials have been pretty solid for each Tech game so far. I haven't really just maligned many calls, but this one was pretty bad. What were your thoughts on the game, and a game that had several really bad missed calls that happened to help out Colorado just about every time?
Yeah, the handful of very bad missed calls came at bad times too. I mean, either extended drives for Colorado that they end up scoring on, or, you know, deflate our drive and we get nothing out of it rather than extending our own drive.
Yep.
And talking mainly about the face mask on Barron that was picked up because it wasn't targeting. Make that make sense.
You know, they're watching the review with the guy just pulling the dude's face mask. Like, can we get a call right when it's clearly like you're reviewing the play, like get it right.
I get like, you're not going to call a holding on one of the linemen there. Like that's not what we're looking at, but it's on the same player that we got the foul call on. Like, let's get it right, like you said. And then, like, the roughing the passer call where we bring a really good pressure on, I think, third down and force an incompletion. And we hit him, like, right in the hip, right where you want him to hit. Well, it wasn't low. It wasn't even close to the knees or lower. And they blow a bogus one for that and give 15 yards and first down, and they go score from there when they were about to have to punt it or try to go for a fourth down. I can't remember where they were on the field, but the timing of the stuff was just god awful. I know Joey said there was five big ones that he just remembered off the top of his head that he was going to send in and ask about. That's great and all to send them in, but we know what the answer is going to be.
Yep.
What's it going to be, Brooks?
Pretty Joey got fined, I'm pretty sure, like 25K.
He did. Yeah. Good. We've kind of been asking for something like that from him, to show some emotion and not just a internal be mad, I'm going to get it fixed type deal. But we just know, like, the Big 12 is not going to do anything
about
it. Like, they're going to go, two of these should have not have been called or should have been called. Three of them were whatever.
Yeah,
and have a good day.
You've got Kansas and whatever next week, so head to Lawrence. There's never no accountability with these refs. You know, they get to come in, they get to dictate games, and then, like I always say, they get to move on to the next one. Meanwhile, like, that's a game that changes our season. Now it makes our season look a little different. And sure, there are missed calls. I've never seen a fan base cry more after winning a game than Colorado fans in our mentions after pointing out the missed face mask call.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, my gosh. I've never seen that before. If I win that game, like, sure, I might bitch about a couple calls, but I'm not going to be, like, crying about it. Hey, we won. I thought it was pretty bad officiating. It looked a little bit biased to me, and that's never anything that you want in an officiated game. That's never what you want from your Big 12 officials. That seemed like Colorado was the objective to get them the win, to keep them in the race. For the Big 12 and, you know, college football playoff. And it just never felt fair when every big play, you know, you're having flags thrown and then they're waving it off. You're having Taj's face mask drug down and nothing's called. You're having Barron, you know, the call on Barron not called, and Shadur's getting touched, but it's a roughing the passer. And not to mention that roughing the passer call, like the official, like, barely even announced it in the stadium. He was so quiet. Nobody even knew that they got it. We're all celebrating the stop, and we didn't even know that they got the first down in the stadium until it was like, wait, what? Why are they still, shouldn't they be punting? I thought it was really bad. And you know, you'll never get answers for it. We'll move on and we'll ultimately forget about this game. But really bad job by the Big 12 officiating. Never gets better. Any other points you had to make on that or this game?
I also think, and usually this is more basketball officiating, but that their lack of officiating, I don't know, competency or whatever you want to call it, led to the fan unrest in the stadium. I don't think they managed the game very well, and that kind of led to some unruly fans. And I don't blame those fans for how they acted, to be honest.
Yeah, I don't blame it. It was they never had control of the game. It felt off kind of from the get-go when they started making some calls. You're like, huh, this seems odd. and then the fan base kind of lost it. And I don't like where we're at as a fan base at, like, not just tech, but, like, sports in general, where people just can throw stuff on the field. Like,
I agree.
It's all Texas's fault for what happened in that game. Now everybody thinks that you can throw stuff and get them to change it. But I definitely didn't like that Joey got on the mic and told, like, yell at the officials, man. Like, they're screwing you. They're taking this game away from you. Like, I get being frustrated with us, but go yell at the officials first. Like I said, I don't blame anybody for throwing anything. That was bad. We definitely got hosed by these refs. I mean, you still got to win this game, and you still didn't make the plays. But when you were trying to make the plays, the refs were always there to push you back.
Yeah. Again, you should have had 28 points in the first quarter, and these calls wouldn't have been as big a deal.
Yep. If Zach Kittley could figure out how to keep scoring when your defense is getting stops, maybe this would have never had to worry about that. But before, you know, Club Red does not open this week because the Red Raiders lose. Our prediction recap before we move on to basketball real quick and get out for the week. I had a 41-38 Colorado win. I did get the Colorado points right. I think, like, that's the first time. Dustin had a 41-38 Texas Tech win, so I won that one. Dustin loses there. We both had Texas Tech +4 in this game. We both lose that one. We both did have the over, and thanks to the Barron Morton fumble, that's the only reason the over cashed, or else it would have been the under. Offensive prediction, I had Travis Hunter would have an interception in this game. He did not. Dustin had we would have a better wide receiver than Travis Hunter, and that did happen, as Josh Kelly
had 106 yards. I'll take a little victory for that.
By a small margin, but Josh Kelly had 106 yards on the day to Travis Hunter's 99. Yep. My defensive prediction was that we were going to let Travis Hunter go off. He had 9 for 99, led them in receiving. I don't think that's necessarily going off.
I don't think so. I thought you did a really good job on him.
I thought he did a good job on him, except for that one touchdown where he just kind of out-athleted everybody on that one. Dustin had us having 4 sacks. We did almost not reach that total, but we had 3, which at the beginning of the season felt impossible to do. So not terrible on those predictions this week. And that leads us into the final bye week of the season before the Red Raiders get ready to face Oklahoma State and West Virginia. to end the season. Any faith that the Red Raiders get to 8 wins? Think this goes 7-5, or do you think we end the season 6-6?
If you believe everything on Twitter, you would think 8 wins is easy for us, because there's a lot of fans that think we are definitely bound to win 2 more in 8 games, and are excited for that progression of winning 1 more game every year. I just don't have that much faith in it. I wouldn't be surprised if we got to 8, but I'm not going to put money on it and be like, oh yeah, we'll be favored, or we're going to win 2 of these games easily, or we're not definitely not going to win easily. No way our coaching staff mm-hmm. lets that happen.
You can't win a game by more than, you know, 1 possession. So, that's out of the book.
We'll probably go 1-1 and, you know, limp into the bowl game that Joey's very excited about.
And maybe a lot of the fan base too. The weird part for me is that I feel like it's more realistic to beat Oklahoma State than West Virginia for some reason right now, because Oklahoma State's just not been good this season. Which would mean,
so we'll probably go the other way,
which would be the weirdest like 7-5 season ever. Or if you, even if you win these 2 games, the fact that you win all, possibly have a chance here to win the majority of your road games, 3 out of your 4 Big 12 road games, yet you would lose like maybe 3 out of your 5 home games. I don't know. It's just a weird record. It's a weird season. You've lost, you know, your last 2 games at home. Just odd. It's nothing I feel like confident about. If you get to 8 wins, great. Like we said, you haven't done that since 2008. So that is like an accomplishment.
I'm just kind of perturbed at Joey and some of the internet people that are very excited about 8 wins, and that being a 1 game progression every year that we've had them. When you see these programs all over the place, Dion and Colorado is one of them that's gonna, you know, win 9 plus games in 3 or less years. You know, Cignetti in Indiana's got 10 wins already, and they've done that twice in the last 5 years or 6 years.
That's our first 10 win season ever.
And they had, but they had like a 9 or so win season.
I think that was a COVID season, so
a few years ago.
Yeah,
like you've had freaking Baylor do this with multiple coaches off and on the last 15 years, after rape scandals and all kinds of crap, and like, you're just like barely getting 1 more win and going to another meaningless like Birmingham Bowl, and you know, thinking that's awesome. Like, it's not awesome.
It's frustrating for me too. Like I said, I mean, 8 wins is better than 7, and so like I'm not gonna highly celebrate it, mainly because we know what the schedule was.
That's the other point of it. We had a fairly easy schedule this year.
Like, if it was a typical Big 12 schedule where you have Texas and Oklahoma on the schedule and you were able to do this, it would look a lot different, I think, with the teams that you've played. Like, yeah, it's really disappointing with the season TCU's had, with, you know, the season Baylor had coming into here, Colorado, you know, these opportunities at home. It's just disappointing. And so, you know, you've got, you know, 2 games where, like, especially TCU and Colorado, where it felt like you should have won those games with some competent coaching. But I just don't know where the trajectory is for this program right now with, you know, losing Taj Brooks. What is the offense going to look like next year if you're going to keep Kittley? Like, I don't even know what the offseason moves are going to be. You know, is Kittley going to be fired? Does Joey have the balls to make some changes this offseason? So I think these are big 2 games. Like, at least getting to 8 wins makes you feel a little more confident about it. But,
big Kittley games.
But right now, I just don't have the confidence in this team to win both games. You know, it feels like a tall task with how this season's gone. So we'll see. We'll be here next week to preview Oklahoma State, the final road game of the football season. But let's transition over to the hardwood, where the Red Raiders have now played 2 basketball games. We'll just real quick about this one, not too much in depth, over beating a Northwestern State, but you did win 86-65 on Friday night. once again, seven players, as no Elijah Hawkins, no Emilio Yolahu, and no Christian Anderson Jr. So you were down to just the seven guys you played in the first game, which means a lot of minutes for your starting five. JT Toppin, his best performance as a Red Raider. Of course, he's only had two performances, but 25 points on 10-11 from the field. It was a pretty impressive night for JT Toppin, highlighted by a breakaway dunk that he had. Kevin Overton, 19 points, second highest on the team in scoring in this game, did a lot of his damage at the free throw line. He was 8 of 9 at the free throw line. Chance McMillan, 13 points, 8 boards. Darian Williams, maybe his worst shooting performance as a Red Raider, was only 1 for 11 from the field, 8 points, 6 of those coming from the free throw line. But he did have a career high in assists with 11. And then Kerwin was 3 of 7 from 3-point line for 11 points. Other guys that played, you had Devin Cambridge and Federico, I think both had 5 points for you. So another win for the Red Raiders. Any thoughts on the 2-0 start here, as Wyoming and Arkansas Pine Bluff are next up on the schedule?
It's nice to see Kevin Overton have a bounce back game after that first game was kind of meh when everybody else was playing really good. Also good to see D5, even though he shot terribly, come up with 11 assists, always contributing to the game and the win. And then Toppin's, man, everything and more as advertised.
Yeah, he was really good in this game. Like I said, 10 for 11, just consistent, really hard to stop. He's really in control of his game, which is really cool to see. We don't have a lot of post players like that who can make moves down low, get to his spot, and finish. And so it's been fun to watch him. Like I said, one of my favorite things about Darian is he might not be scoring, but he's going to find ways to still, help this team win. And he wasn't scoring, so, hey, I'll dish out 11 assists. And then
it'd be nice when we get some guys back and don't have to play seven dudes.
Yeah, it definitely sucks early. Like, early you're supposed to be healthy, and you're coming into the season, and you're only playing seven guys, and you're like, all right. It's a good start for this team. We look really good, especially with the seven guys that you're playing, but things are going to get easier when you have Elijah Hawkins out there, when Christian Anderson's coming and spelling him off the bench. You get a little, you have another big in Emilio Lahu who you can depend on to get you some minutes. So you're definitely going to need these guys to get healthier sooner rather than later. I don't want to wear out the seven guys that this early in the season. So hopefully they get back. I think they're all just kind of day to day. So maybe this week or next they should be back on the court. But next week we're going to do our Texas Tech basketball deep dive, as we only have the Oklahoma State football game to cover football-wise, so that shouldn't take too long. So we'll dive into the roster a little bit more, talk about each player, the positions, kind of what we expect, make some predictions and all that good stuff next week. But that'll do it for our Texas Tech coverage this week. Before we get out of here, final shots for the week, what you got for us?
Dallas Cowboys are a freaking joke. I mean, Dak's not playing because he tore his hamstring off the bone. So they, for some reason, tried out Cooper Rush, which was stupid. I mean,
he was 5-1 as a starter, though, Dustin.
He traded for Trey Lance for some reason, right? I mean, you might as well throw him out there and see what he can do eventually. He scored freaking 6 points. And then CeeDee Lamb doesn't catch a touchdown because he can't see the ball because the sun is shining in through the stadium. And Jerry refuses to cover anything up in that stadium and is getting in fights with reporters about it. And sounds dumber every time he talks about it. He's done it every day for the last now 3 days. And it's just dumber and dumber. And then they put up a freaking shade on Mike McCarthy for the press conference yesterday, and he got a laugh out of it. But God bless if we help our football team and do that.
Makes no sense. It's just comedy at this point. This is running this franchise into the ground, and you're paying like three guys, and now one of them's done for the season. One of them hasn't played a whole lot this season. And yeah, CD can't catch the ball because the sun's shining in his eyes. So great decisions made for a guy who said they were going all in the offseason.
I saw something today that said that something about those windows or whatever is low on his list of improvements. I would love to see what his quote unquote list of improvements for this team are, because I don't think he has one.
It's probably not good. Yeah, I don't think he has one either. Yeah, so maybe you're up, Dion. Maybe you're next. Mike McCarthy looks like he's probably going to be gone. Man. Yeah, well, after last year and the kind of hope of last year had, what a shit show this season's been. My final shot, shout out to the Texas Tech women's soccer team who made it to the NCAA tournament. They'll be playing here at home Friday night versus LSU in the first round. So if you have, you know, free time and don't have any plans Friday night, get out there, support the women's soccer team as they get a host for the second straight season. Tough bracket draw, though. I think if they win this one, they go to Duke, who is like apparently pretty damn good. So
dang it.
Well, yeah, we'll be rooting the women's soccer team on as they begin tournament play. And my other is the Chiefs just keep on winning.
Yeah.
I have no idea how they beat the Broncos on Sunday, a team that they should probably dominate, but struggled. Looked like the Broncos were just going to go win the game with a, you know, pretty easy field goal, and the Chiefs block it and stay.
They had like three guys there to block it too. Yeah. And everybody.
It's just crazy. They keep winning these games. Fans are starting to hate it, but we're just enjoying it.
Apparently, I mean, I hadn't seen an updated stat. This was before the win, but they were like